Let's turn to Galatians 5 again. Verse 22. I'll read to where we are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and today, kindness. Let's pray. Lord, kindness is such a beautiful word. We read of pagan gods being unkind, vindictive, vengeful. And Lord, surely you have vengeance. But Lord, you are at your core a kind God, never compromising with evil, but kind and good. And we thank you, Lord, and praise you for that. May we see that in our own lives as you provide it through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, we have an incredibly smart group of young people. They're not all here today, but because they're incredibly smart, I sometimes ask them questions. And so the other week or so ago, I don't remember what it was. I think it was Levi and Bryce. I said, "What's your favorite Conway Twitty song?" And they discussed it a little bit. One of them said, "It's only make believe," or "Rest Your Love," or "Hello, Darling." I forget who said that. You'll never get a "Who is Conway Twitty" from our youth. And then the girls, I asked, "What's your favorite Glen Campbell song?" Well, they discussed a little bit. One of them said "Rhinestone Cowboy." "Wichita Lineman," which is actually the best song he's written, or he didn't write it. Or "True Grit." But he had another song that would fit today, "Try a Little Kindness." So if you take out the "try" and the "little," we land right where we are here in this fruit of the Spirit, kindness. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is a product of the new birth. You don't get it in the world. You don't get it just by natural traits. I'll talk about that. But you have to have it from inside. If I or Jerry were to find an advertisement for a comb that made your hair look fuller, if we buy the comb on the basis it'll make our hair look fuller, we're off, because the comb only works with hair that's already there. It can't bring full hair in. So when we speak of the fruit of the Spirit, it's something that God has put in us. And if you really want to be more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, patient, we don't start with resolutions, because that's like a comb with no hair. The Spirit causes our new birth and then pours life out of us. John 7, verse 38 says this: "He who believes in me," this is Jesus speaking, "as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, you know, the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, 50 days post the resurrection. And so Jesus is saying here that by the fruit of the Spirit, by the presence of the Spirit within us, life, living water will pour out of us. Those who believe in him. He's the start of that. You can't just take a shovel, go out into the woods and dig a hole and expect a well to be there. There's got to be water underneath. Well, the water underneath our life, the produce of our life, is the Spirit of God. Christians have that when they're saved. Although before it was withheld until Jesus was glorified. So there's a logical progression, I believe, in the fruit of the Spirit. It's all the same. We have it all. It's not like the gifts of the Spirit where you have some and others don't. You have certain ones that are yours. But we are made loving, joyful, and peaceful. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, love, joy, peace. Seems to me to be a foundation, a planting, rich soil. Love, joy, peace. We're given these things, love, joy, and peace in Christ. And then there's an outflow to others of the remainder. You know, patience, kindness, you know that. And so it's from one inside of us, the rest of them seem to be more applicable to how we deal with others. And the works of the flesh are destructive. People who are mean, wicked, this destruction and chaos come to others. But when we have love and joy and peace from God, then what flows out of us is good. If it does snow on Tuesday, and that is a big, 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 big if. If it does, people will naturally be kinder. They'll be happier. If you had to get a loan at the bank, that'd be the day to go. You got just a natural, fresh spirit in the air. Christmas spirit is that way. People get excited about the Christmas season, and they're nicer. That's natural kindness. But love, joy, peace produces these other things that were favorable and beneficial to others, and gentle and kind. And so our God exemplifies all of this. He is all of these things. God is good. God is kind. God is loving. God is patient. God is joyful. All of these things are stamped upon us by the Spirit of God. And in the new birth, we're given these things to be more actively like our God, to be made joyfully willing to do His good pleasure. And that determining factor for true belief is the observance of fruit. Now, today in Southern Baptist churches, mostly this happens, I'm afraid. People are not interested in fruit. They do not judge belief by fruit. They judge belief by profession, by words. So if someone says, and they believe this, you know, from a false theology, but if someone says, I believe in Jesus, I want to go to heaven, then they believe that that cements it in stone. You're going to go. And you do not have to bear fruit. Some even say if you demand fruit from a Christian, you're being a legalist. You are saying that you are saved by works. And nobody says that. But many Southern Baptists have been led down this path, and many preachers are led them. If I pray this prayer, if I make this decision, I'm saved. Where's the fruit? Well, we hope that comes later. And some will say, it doesn't even have to come because we're saved by grace. Well, they misunderstand grace. They misunderstand fruit. They misunderstand salvation. So we know it by fruit of the Spirit. Now, the meaning of kindness. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is translated loving kindness. Loving kindness is a compound word. Grits would be a simple word. Grits and butter is a compound. Grits and butter and red eye gravy is super compound. And so it's a better word. I mean, it's still the same meaning. Loving kindness. Loving kindness means kindness is rooted in love. You love someone, and God does this by choice, not by our worthiness. You love someone, and then it pours forth in kindness. Cindy was telling me a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and this made my heart happy. I pull against Philadelphia Eagles every time they play. A Philadelphia Eagles fan was berating the Green Bay Packers woman fan at the stadium when they had their game. And he just, you know, which I understand is typical of many Eagles fans, gave her terrible, terrible, terrible time. Where he works, found out that who it was and fired him. That's what I'm talking about. That kind of instant justice. But he did that because he does not love that woman. He doesn't even love the team. He is doing something for himself. If you love someone, it is rooted in love, is loving kindness. In God, God wills to love us. God is kind because of God, not because of us. It's nice to meet kind people and you return kindness in return, but God is kind in himself because he chooses to be kind. Like love, it seeks to benefit another person. Way back in the olden days, we used to go to Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference. And you could get a VHS tape. And it would say on the tape, "Be kind, rewind." Very poetic. And what it's saying is that when you get done with your movie, rather than just taking it out of the VCR, is you would rewind it so the next person gets it, they can start from the beginning, and they don't have to rewind it. Be kind, rewind. So you're thinking about another person, just like love does. There are other adjectives that are beneficial in revealing the meaning of kindness. If you're a young man, you start speaking to a young lady, and you tell her how nice her hair looks, how tender her skin is, she probably won't interrupt you. Keep on. Keep going. Because we can't get too much of that. So go on. And so adjectives, tenderness, softness, mercy, mildness. You don't find asphalt teddy bears. Asphalt you find on the road, a teddy bear is soft. So you think of a kindly thing as a teddy bear, soft. Mercy is a product of kindness. Mildness is a product of kindness. When Sequoia started school, I think it was her freshman year, and we went there one time, and saw our roommates, and we were talking about certain things. And I said somebody was mercurial, and they said, "Mercurial? What is that, mercurial?" And apparently, a lot of people don't know what mercurial means. Mercury in a thermometer goes up and down based upon the temperature. If you're mercurial, it means you're way up here and way down here. You're kind of like up and down. It's hard to predict what you are. Kindness is predictable. Kindness is level. Kindness is smooth and mild. You can predict how a person's going to behave. You don't have to go and say, "I'm going to say this, but don't know what's going to happen." Kindness is goodness in action. Not just goodness, but positive goodness. Positive impact. All goodness is goodness in action, essentially. But kindness is action that is not in indignation. When Jesus cleansed the temple, he was being indignant of their sin. He was still being good. But kindness is more of praise for what you're doing. It's contrasted in Romans 11, verse 22, with severity. Romans 11, 22 says, "Behold then the kindness and severity of God." Kindness is our word. "To those who fail, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off." God being kind as opposed to severe. God, when he is severe, is still good. But kindness is favorable to us and accepted positively. Kindness is warm, welcoming, approving, accepting. I went to a doctor a couple, probably a year and a half or 2 years ago now, here in Orangeburg. He was not warm. He was not welcoming. He was not approving, and he was not accepting. So he is now no longer a doctor that I go to. I went one time. You got to be there. You don't get a second chance on that. You go to the DMV to get your license renewed. You want a smiling face ready to help you. You don't want them to send you home to get five more papers that you didn't bring with you the first time. This is kindness. Now, there's a distinction I want to make with the second point about natural kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is for Christians. Only Christians have the fruit of the Spirit, because the Christians have the Spirit of God. We're saved. Regeneration is a Christian thing. So how can unbelievers be kind? If the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, how do we explain unbelievers who are kind? Because they are. There are many unbelievers who are very kind. The LA fire, you can't trust the government out there, but the firefighters, the neighbors, they come together and they're very kind. They're trying to help people. Some lady had to leave her goats behind, I think, or sheep behind, and the firefighters fed the sheep while she was gone. When she got back to her house, and they were there. Very kind. A lot of kindness going on. It's natural kindness. Kind neighbors, kind friends, and even kind politicians. Okay, I was kidding about that last one. Okay, you got people who are kind, just naturally. I want to talk about it more later tonight. My plan is anyway, if the Lord wills. But it's not a different kind of kindness. It's not a different type of kindness. But there's a notable difference between natural kindness and the fruit of the Spirit. Basically, kindness is how God made us. It's part of the image of God in us. There's a big market in the world on fake parts, fake airline parts. You can sell them cheaper. They're not up to specs. But people sell them, and they often work for a long time. When they fail, it's catastrophic. So kindness in a natural sense is kind of like fake parts. They work, but, you know, you can't depend upon them in a stressful time. The Bible explicitly states that man was created in the image of God, and that image was marred by the fall. When we fell, we became something other than we were before we fell. We were guilty. We were corrupted. But we did not lose completely the image of God. The things that God put in us by creation are still there, although marred. And some, they're marred terribly. Natural kindness exists on a scale. Some are very kind. Some are very unkind. Maybe a little smidgen of kindness every now and then. The Ebenezer Scrooge types. So it varies. It's mercurial. And the image of God can be reinforced in us by training and example. We've had parents or grandparents who would whack us upside the head with a stick if we misbehaved in a bad way that was unkind. And that helps us to not be unkind. We get training. People go to church. They learn about these things. And so the tainting of sin on us is held back by the training of others. Now, there's etiquette. In golf, you have etiquette. One of the first things you learn in golf, you learn to swing, you learn what happens, you learn that the low score wins, you learn the basics, but then you learn etiquette. You don't talk while somebody else is swinging. You don't take the flag out of the hole and spear it to the green. I mean, there are things you learn that are etiquette to help others play better, to be respectful of others. Well, we learn these things. And so some people are nice because they learned it naturally. The Bible says that there is a restraining influence in the world today by the Spirit of God. That's what I want to look at later, hopefully. that the Holy Spirit restrains the outbreak of wickedness in the world today. That if the Holy Spirit would not restrain, it would break out. You know, in a city, if you have a power failure and all the alarms are off and all the lights are off, what do the crooks do? That restraining influence is gone. They go crazy. So the Holy Spirit is still active, and the Holy Spirit keeps things from getting really, really bad, way worse than it would be now. And natural kindness cannot reliably be held against the press of wickedness. When things get really hot, a Christian with the fruit of the Spirit can be kind. It's more likely in an unbeliever that they would lose that. When the Antichrist appears, Jesus said the love of many will grow cold. And a lack of kindness is an indication of unbelief. I've had car dealers. We had looked at a car in Minnesota one time. He was really sweet, kind man until I said I wasn't going to buy his car. He got kind of mean then. It was conditional. Once things turned different, well, he lost his kindness. A kindness that's not rooted in the new birth is unreliable. It's betrayal. This is where betrayal comes in. There are people who are very friendly toward you, committed to the church even, supportive, and then they betray. That happened to Dwight and Rutherford when he was there, pastor before we got there. There's betrayal. Because it doesn't last. It's a natural kindness. Other elements outside can alter it, but not the fruit of the Spirit. A lot of lostness is revealed in how people behave in church. You can say, yeah, people don't come to church. They're probably lost. That's probably true. But it really comes out in church, the way people behave in church. Lack of kindness in church. Paul told Titus to reject a factious man, Titus 3:10, reject a factious man after the first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. He said, you know, a man who's factious, can't get along with, resists the word. He's warned once, he's warned twice, keeps on, consider him to be perverted. Self-condemned. Reject him. It shows up in church all the time. So, thirdly, what does it mean to be kind? Now, we want to be kind. Kind is an act of love and tenderness. It's better to be kind than to be smart. It's nice if you can be both. But it's better to be kind. If you can pick one, pick kindness over smartness. A lot of smart people, if you're unkind, but if you're kind, you know, you can get away with a lot of lack of smartness. I mean, get both if you can. Love itself is an active characteristic. Kindness, then, applies love in tender and selfless ways. On my birthday, had my grandmother continued to live, she died when she was 100. She would have been 124 on Tuesday. My aunt wrote me a happy birthday email. Happy birthday, you know. They always remember my birthday because it was my grandmother's birthday. So she mentioned Mom would be 124 years old. I said, I wish she could have held out. She made me fried apple pies and put my name and stuck a toothpick through the name on the fried apple pies because they were sugar-free. I know now they just had just as many carbohydrates in them as they would have if they'd had sugar in them, but I didn't care then, and they were good. And so she was kind. She was a kind lady. And so we remember her fondly. It's the root of what we see in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the poor in spirit. All of those are people who are kind. They're tender. The meek inherit the earth. The peacemakers shall be called sons of God. The poor in spirit are not demanding or feel entitled. The merciful understand God's mercy toward them and are merciful toward others. The Sermon on the Mount is proof of who you are. If you're these things, you're blessed because you've been made new by the Lord. The kindness of God leads to repentance, Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? That's our word. Kindness, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. That we should be grateful to the Lord, that he stoops down to us and has mercy upon us and is kind to us when we're unworthy. Should, says there, leads us to repentance. We pray for that. Kindness is one component of the glue that unifies believers. Colossians 3:12, so as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I think I read this last week too. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Some people go to church and they want the church to give programs. They want the church to do things to make them unified. But the Lord does that in the fruit of the Spirit. We apply that, the new birth. The fact that we're new people, that's on us, not others. Kindness, Proverbs 25:15, breaks bones. Listen to this. By forbearance, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. When you get angry, anger comes back at you, generally. But if you have a soft tongue, the natural, even a natural sense, it convicts the other person for being mean. If you're both mean, there's no conviction because you're both the same. Breaks the bone. Colossians was also talking about putting these things on. It's like clothes. We put clothes on. And then you live out your clothes. When I have to fight crime, I, of course, put my Superman outfit on. People want to see that. If you're a Christian, you put on these things. Compassion, kindness, humility, patience. You put it on because God has put it in your closet for you to wear. We should season our speech in being kind, Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be seasoned with salt, with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Season your speech. Make your speech palatable. Season it so it's received. I've told you before about my first grade gang I was in. I was in a gang in the first grade. Calvin Wilkerson was the leader of the gang. He was the shortest one in the class. But he had a look on his face. It looked like he was mean. And so in the gang, I thought, you know, because I was 6 years old. You got the Bloods and the Crips. We were the Pipsqueaks. So we were tough. Because why were we tough? Because I went around like this. I'm mean. Don't mess with our gang. We're mean. I'm glad to get over that. Jesus said that's what the Gentiles do. Matthew 20, verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, the pipsqueaks had it backwards. We'll be mean and people will respect us now. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. The day may come, and we may be alive in that day, when people in high positions of authority don't care about us. Can you imagine a day like that ever coming? It's been here for how long? The choice between Gentiles and Jesus is not a hard one for us to make. To be like Jesus will be kind, because as the fruit of the Spirit, we've been given that by the Spirit of God to do. Let's pray. Lord, we really don't want to be mean. We're ashamed when we're mean. We're ashamed when we act unbecomingly. It's embarrassing, Lord, to misbehave in that way. So we thank you, Lord, that we have in, by the Spirit of God, a means by which we can be kind people. Adorn the gospel with kindness. And I pray, Lord, you would find us faithful to that. May we grow us up into that, Lord. May we bear our full potential by your Spirit in being kind people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take our hymn book and stand for the last song is 136, Spirit of the Living God. Very short.